The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We need to be sure that we add to our knowledge of the Word of God. This word knowledge means to acquire an awareness, to gain understanding, and it applies acceptance, that is agreement, with the Word of God, cultivating a deeper, intimate connection or relationship with God. This knowledge that Peter writes about in 2 Peter chapter 1 is not just the initial knowledge that produces faith and brings a person to obedience to Christ, but it's primarily the continued education from God's Word that produces maturity in the child of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul wrote, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter wrote, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." The continual acquisition of knowledge is vital to our spiritual well-being, and it will satisfy our appetites. If we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we can find it in the Word of God, and our spiritual appetites will be satisfied. It makes us fruitful in the kingdom. It makes us fruitful in the service of the King. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, Paul wrote to his son in the faith, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed." How important is it for us to seek the law of the Lord and to do it? Well, it's very important. Consider the words of Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 about Ezra. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." It's so important that we seek the law of the Lord, the Word of God, with our heart, and that we put it into practice. We make application of what we learn or what we read from the Word of God, and we teach it to others. Ezra did all three. It's important. I want us to consider very quickly three questions about knowledge. What is the source of this saving knowledge? Well, the Bible is from God. It's inspired by Him. The word inspired has several meanings. For example, on a clear night, when you look into the sky and you see the beauty of the stars, you may be inspired as you are moved by the beauty and wonders of the heavens. A painter may stand and look into the colors of a beautiful sunset and be inspired to paint a striking picture. But is this the type of inspiration that's possessed by the writers of the Bible? In this same chapter in 2 Peter 1, in verse 21, we read there, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The prophets were aware that it was not themselves who were speaking, but God speaking through them. In Exodus chapter 35 and verse 1, Moses declared, "These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do." In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2, Isaiah urged, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." In Jeremiah 1 and verse 4, Jeremiah the prophet said, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying." And in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 3, the prophet of old Ezekiel declared, "The word of the Lord came expressly to me." These express convictions indicate that men of God in the Old Testament spoke and wrote from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit, as Peter stated. In fact, in 2 Peter 1, Going up a couple of verses in verse 19, we read, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." The Old Testament was written by men of God, speaking from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. What about the New Testament? Well, near the end of his public ministry, Jesus announced his imminent departure from his apostles. He promised them in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper," capital H, "that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The Comforter of the Spirit of truth will teach them all things and bring to their remembrance all that Jesus had said to them and would guide them into all truth. That's stated in both John 14, verse 26 and John 16 and verse 13. This Comforter came on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit in fulfillment of the promise that Jesus made to his disciples. He, the Holy Spirit, guided the apostles into all truth and brought them to remembrance all that Jesus had said to them. This guidance was with them as they wrote the New Testament, and that's why the Apostle Paul made this statement in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." God's word teaches man knowledge. In Psalm 94, verses 10 and 11, God instructs the nations. It says that God teaches man knowledge. In Psalm 119 and verse 66, the Bible says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments." God's word will make one wise to salvation. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the verse right before the ones I just mentioned, the Bible tells us, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." It's the Word of God. God is the source of the knowledge that we need to have. But the next question is, what is the right attitude to have towards this knowledge? We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, the second verse of this letter. And it also says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the last verse of 2 Peter, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Never be content with your current level of knowledge of the Scripture. Be filled with and abound in love and knowledge. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul wrote, "In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Love needs to be accompanied with knowledge to truly help others and to approve what is excellent. And do not be forgetful. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." Steadfastness helps us not to be carried away by false teaching. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John wrote, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So don't be satisfied with your current level of knowledge of the Scriptures. Always be adding, always be abounding, always be acquiring more knowledge from the Word of God. And that comes from study. And be steadfast in the Scriptures so that you will not be carried away with false teaching. The Word of God is the standard. Whenever you hear teaching and preaching that claims to be from the Word of God, you have the Word of God to test it by. It is the standard by which we test these things. But the third question, what is the value of this knowledge? Knowledge is better than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Psalm 19. Wisdom and knowledge make us stronger. Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 5. Knowledge keeps us from destruction. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13, we read, "Therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst." In the Bible, the God of heaven has revealed his eternal purpose for mankind and his gracious plan to redeem us. And it's only right that sincere seekers of truth spend the better part of a lifetime studying the details of the 66 books that comprise the Bible. The quest for deep and detailed knowledge of God's book may seem daunting at first, but it's truly rewarding. And there is comfort in the assurance that those who seek knowledge from the Word of God will find it. The Word of God equips us to be able to distinguish right from wrong. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, we read, "For the fruit of the Spirit is all godliness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." We can learn how we can be pleasing to God from no other place except from the Word of God, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The Bible reveals the way of salvation. There is hardly a greater need for human beings than gaining an understanding of what the Bible is all about. The Bible comes from God, not men. The words the human writers wrote down, they were breathed by God, inspired by Him. Through the Holy Spirit, these writers were moved to write the truth. The Bible claims inspiration, and that claim has been tested and proven throughout the centuries. The Bible outlives, outworks, and out-influences its critics. It's like an anvil that's worn out many hammers. Many people sow discord, doubt, and distrust concerning the Bible. The skeptics do not believe God can provide the world with His divine will in an infallible written document. But what do you think? I think an accurate gauge to measure how much you love God is to consider how much love you have for the Word of God. The Word of God, there's no equal to it. The Bible is a one-of-a-kind book. It's the book of books. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever. What can compare to the Bible? What is the chaff to the wheat? There's no book like it in continuity and consistency. There is no book like it in its honesty. There's no book like it in its circulation. There's no book like it in its survival. There's no book like it in its influence and life-changing power. In Psalm 19 and verse 11, the psalmist writes, "Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them," that's the Word of God, "there is great reward." In Psalm 119 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." God has given us the Bible, a collection of 66 books. Many wonder what the book of Genesis has to do with the Gospel of Matthew, or what the prophet Joel has to do with anything that's recorded in the book of Acts. Are these 66 unconnected books, or is there a theme all throughout the book, a purpose linking all the books together? Yes, there is. The Bible has a unified narrative. It's not a collection of disjointed stories and isolated truths. I ask you, please, to give these thoughts about the Word of God your careful consideration, because the Bible is indeed the Word of God. Study it daily. Be steadfast in the Word. It is the power of God to salvation. Be sure that you've done what the Bible instructs man to do in order to be forgiven of his sins, so that you can live with the hope of having an eternal home in heaven with God. This is Steve Peeler, the evangelist of the West Main Church of Christ in Franklin. Thank you so much for listening to our radio program.